afternoon. I'm opening this meeting of the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology. Today is February 16th. I had to look down to even see what the date is. I am opening an informational meeting. LFO staff, would you please introduce the topic for us?
Absolutely. Co-Chair Nathanson, Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee. Today we have an informational meeting. We're going to hear from the Office of the State Chief Information Officer, the Strategic Technology Office within the Office of the State CIO is responsible for working with agencies in a variety of program areas or policy areas. And we thought it'd be helpful and informative for the assigned strategic technology officer for each of the primary program areas. We'll hear from three today, education, natural resources, and transportation and economic development, for them to come forward and present at a high level the information resource management plan for those policy areas. And so I think we're going to start with Jennifer Bierke, who serves as a director of the Strategic Technology Office. Jennifer, if you could come forward and make sure to introduce yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jennifer Bierke, and I am the Director for Strategic Technology Office of the State CIO. To my right is Ben Tate, and he is the Strategic Technology Officer for Education, and he will be presenting behind me in just a couple of minutes. Thank you for your time today. I'm actually here to give you a very brief overview of the Strategic Technology Office itself. I'd like to start by talking a little bit about the staff. I'll spend a few minutes talking about the information resource management strategies themselves, and then I'd like to actually introduce the team before they start with their individual presentations, if that's okay with you. The Strategic Technology Office is principally responsible for policy and oversight functions. We are a team of 18 sitting inside the Office of the State CIO. Six policy analysts, six strategic technology officers whom you'll be meeting over the next couple of weeks, two business analysts, and an enterprise architect. This is actually a piece of the presentation that I borrowed from Dr. Pettit's presentations to this committee last week. This is really a demonstration of some of the core principles and functions of our office. You've heard us talk a little bit about the joint stage gate model between the Office of the State CIO and the Legislative Fiscal Office. That is actually what we spend a lot of our time working on, putting projects through their paces. You've heard about that in the past. You'll hear some agencies coming forward with project presentations, and they will likely speak often of their progress through the stage gate model. PPM is actually what we refer to as project portfolio management. That is another significant piece of the body of work that we do. We're actually the repository for the state's major IT projects. The project portfolio management tool itself is our automated way of keeping track of those projects. Just for the record, I thought you might want to know that at present time, the Office of the State CIO has 64 projects under oversight. 46 of those are what we would consider major IT projects. The other 18 are some smaller projects that fall in the magnitude of the $150,000 to $1 million when we talk about major IT projects. We're really talking about those projects in excess of $1 million, to give you an idea there. Service review. We are actually not the service provider or the service branch of the Office of State CIO. That is the State Data Center. The strategic technology officers are principally focused on strategy. They're taking a look at the technology that is out there across the enterprise today, and they're actually working with agencies on determining what the best path forward in terms of finding or solving business problems and looking for technology solutions. Principally, they are charged with working across their policy areas and the enterprise on opportunities for shared services. They will be talking about those in part during their individual presentations. And last but not least, we do have a focus on enterprise architecture, and we may get to some conversation that is actually the newest piece of our program, but that's where we talk and focus a little bit about aligning business processes with IT investments. And again, there will be a nod to those in the individual investment management strategies. Moving on to information resource management strategies themselves, I think the significance for the 17-19 biennium is this is the first time that we have approached the development of enterprise information resource management strategy as a collective. Rather than presenting one plan to this body for review, we have taken the strategy of resource management strategy by policy area. The strategic technology officers will be coming forward to do that policy area by policy area. I believe you'll be hearing from three of them today, and in subsequent weeks we will cover the other three. The piece that I want to point out that's significant is these were collaborative conversations. They were the result of a significant amount of groupthink between several bodies. They started out principally based on the governor's vision. There was some participation from governor's policy advisors, agency directors, agency CIOs, the strategic technology officers, as well as some of the partners that we have inside our service branch with the state data center. I think that the importance of this particular process to this office was it's the first time that a group of people actually came together and recognized that there was value add in having conversations across the enterprise, particularly as it applied to shared services and goals and strategies. We did take a look at the governor's vision. We spent a lot of time looking at agency strategic plans and how they aligned with the governor's vision. And then we drilled down a little further and took a look at agency IT strategic plans and asked the question, do they support or are they in alignment with the agency strategic plans? And again, did those fold up to the larger enterprise vision or the governor's vision? So you'll hear again from folks, and they'll talk a little bit more about that process in depth. But again, a significant body of work. And I think we spent the better part of 9.5 or 10 months to actually bring these plans together. My understanding is today is an overview of those plans in the next couple of weeks. I believe in your committee materials, you have at least three of the information resource management strategies in front of you today. They're lengthy documents. Our intention is certainly not to go through those line by line, so you will be getting an overview. And if you've got more in-depth questions, we can certainly come back and talk to you about that stuff later. Last but not least, I'd like to introduce the team. This is our America's Most Wanted list. The strategic technology officers are all here in the room today, again covering the six policy areas. As I stated, to my right is Ben Tate. He's the strategic technology officer for education. Jared Chalk is the strategic technology officer for transportation and economic development. Ethan Benetan is the strategic technology officer for healthy people. Daryl Landrum, who you'll be hearing from today as well, is the Strategic Technology Officer for Natural Resources. Darren Wellington is the Strategic Technology Officer for Public Safety. And last but not least, Heidi Zinsman, who's the Strategic Technology Officer for Administration and Business Services. So that is the team that's here today. They're excited to talk to you. I want to thank you for your time. And if you don't have any other questions for me on behalf of the program, I'm going to get out of the way and let them get to talking about their plans. Okay, thank you.
Sure, if any of them want to help secure my laptop so my daughter doesn't get on there and have YouTube videos running nonstop, that'd be welcome.
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, thank you. For the record, my name is Ben Tate, and as you just heard, I'm the Strategic Technology Officer for Education. Beside me is Daryl Landrum, Strategic Technology Officer for Natural Resources, who will be manning the presentation for me. I want to thank you for the opportunity to present an overview of the Information Resource Management, or IRM, plan for education. Today, I'm just going to give you a highlight overview of it, including how the process for developing the IRM, the agencies involved, and then some specific elements of the plan, including partnership opportunities, IT governance, utilization of OSCIO services, IT security, and an overview of some of the agency initiatives. So I want to take a moment here before we get started to acknowledge the contributions of the education agencies who worked with me to develop this plan, most of whom are sitting in the back row. And you know what the saying goes about the students who sit in the back row. This plan really emphasizes cross-agency collaboration and shared goals, and that is a real testament to the work that the group did. In addition to these individuals, as you heard, the governor's education focus area team and key members within Office of the State CIO reviewed this plan and provided valuable feedback. One of the first things that the group did was identify some of the guiding principles. Those are all listed here, and I want to just highlight two of them for you. The first being that the agencies are really embracing the governor's vision of a seamless system of education. From a business standpoint, that means they are engaging in conversations about how to work across the traditional boundaries in order to improve outcomes for students. From the IT standpoint, that means there's a focus on improving IT strategic planning and governance, as well as looking at opportunities for increased data sharing to support the cross-agency partnerships. If he was still on this committee, Representative, now Senator Frederick, would tell you that we can't just chase data for data's sake, and that any of the work that we do in data collection has to be balanced with security and privacy, so we're not introducing undue risk to student data. That balance really is foundational. You will hear me talk about it multiple times through this presentation, because it really heavily influences the work that we do. Everyone,
I would like to interject a question at this point. I was interested when you said we shouldn't be collecting data for data's sake. It, sort of closely related to that point is it has been noted, at least in previous legislative sessions, how many times we have added on to the number of reports that we mandate from the Department of Education. And when I looked into it, it was over 80. We could be close to 90 now, annual reports. And one of the things that I have not gotten around to ask about yet, whether there has been any like auditing or analysis from your office, are there things that we're asking schools or school districts to report where it is a burden for them to report, but actually the data is already available if we would just grab it from somewhere else? Or we can get to the same, we can figure out, we can get the same outcome by looking at something else. So it's related to this data question issue generally.
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, thank you for the question. Our office has not specifically engaged in that question, but let me have that conversation with the agencies and get back to you.
Thank you.
So the last thing that I want to emphasize here is the last bullet point. This was a very important concept for the agencies as we started this process. We wanted to really emphasize technology as a support and enhancement to the business and ensure the focus of this work stayed on business outcomes so we weren't just chasing the newest technology. Everyone in the group was very aware of the importance of the overall mission and was tuned into how we could help further that mission by leveraging technology. So for OSCIO, the education policy area includes the Chief Education Office, the Department of Education, the Higher Ed Coordinating Commission, Teacher Standards and Practice Commission, and the State Library. And you will hear me refer to them in the, as the acronyms moving forward. This is a slight change from traditional budget alignment, where State Library is in the administrative grouping. We felt when we put this program together that there was enough business alignment that we wanted to have them included in these conversations with education. So the first area of the IRM I want to highlight are the partnership opportunities. As I mentioned, there's an emphasis on the data side of the IT shops and how we can better connect and use that data to serve education. The key challenge going forward will be to balance the cross-agency partnerships with not exposing the student data to undue risk. In addition to this, the agencies have taken steps to work together better in providing IT services to their respective agencies and to learn from each other in areas they want to improve. I want to share two quick examples with you about this. TSPC has one IT person. They get services from DAS for some of the things that they need, but that one IT person is the person. so he can't really go on vacation without keeping his phone close at hand. Well, we established a conversation with the state library and higher ed, and they are now partnering with TSPC to provide backup services, so when this poor guy goes on vacation, he can actually relax. This led to the second example. These conversations opened up a new area between state library, TSPC, and chief ed, where we're starting to explore what we're calling an IT co-op. Each of these agencies has a unique IT skill set that the others do not, and so we're starting the conversations of how they can provide those services to each other. We're still in the very, very early stages of this, so we don't have a lot of details, but all three agencies have been very excited about this opportunity, and the spirit of partnership that they're exhibiting in these conversations is really commendable. So I'm very excited about where that is going to go. And as I mentioned, the two larger agencies in this policy area have been very willing to share the documentation and experiences they've had in specific areas like IT governance, and willing to share lessons learned.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So I'd like to back up just a second, mm-hmm. if I might, to the sharing of expertise across agencies. And I know this is not the only place in the state where this could help. So is this something that we're looking at across the enterprise, these kinds of opportunities, or is this a one-off?
So, Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, one of the things that the STOs do frequently is compare notes with each other across the policy area, so we are trying to identify those opportunities across the board as they arise. We're constantly emailing each other about different things that single agencies or group of agencies in our areas are doing to ensure that we are looking for those cross-policy area opportunities.
Thank you.
So let's focus a little bit more on governance. When I say IT governance, I mean the organization and prioritization of the IT activities within an agency. Every agency has more need than capacity, which means there needs to be sustained conversation between the IT and their business partners. They need to prioritize the projects that they undertake, identify what outcomes are most important, and decide what opportunities to pursue. In order for that to be successful, it needs to be a joint conversation with IT and business not seeing themselves as distinct groups, but as partners in a larger effort. Within education, the larger agencies have documented strategic plans and governance models, and the smaller agencies are all currently engaged in either developing one or both of those things. And as I mentioned, the partnership between them has been very helpful, with the larger agencies sharing their documentation and their experiences with the smaller ones. I do want to point out this is a space where the size of the agency makes a big difference. When your agency director is your CIO, there's an inherent alignment between your IT and business strategies. And so it definitely makes a play in terms of the rigor that we need to impose on those activities. In addition to the individual agency governance, as I've mentioned, there's a focus on partnerships, which means cross-agency governance becomes really critical. The challenge for the agencies moving forward will be making that shift from the agency-specific governance models to an effective cross-agency governance. In terms of use of existing services from the data center, each of the agencies in this policy area uses a different set of services. Higher ed is a full data center customer, while all the others use a different subset of services. There was a high level of interest with the smaller agencies to become full customers, and they all explored budget requests in order to assist them with this process. But as you know, this is not a good budget cycle for those requests, so those are not moving forward at this time. However, all of the agencies are very open to utilizing the data center on a project-by-project basis. The major projects that I will touch on later are all going to be hosted at the data center, and all of the agencies have engaged in conversations on a frequent basis with the data center. Given the sensitivity of the data that is utilized by these agencies, IT security is a major area of emphasis. While none of the agencies have experienced a breach, security underlines everything that they do. Chief Ed and ODE are involved in the first phase of the risk assessment that OSCIO is doing in response to the governor's executive order on IT security. In addition, while each of the agencies recognizes the benefits of more cross-agency data sharing, this is balanced with the need for strong data governance to ensure the risk to the student data is effectively managed. I want to stress that this focus is not just on the IT side of security, which is the technical side of the conversation, but also on data privacy, which is the human side. Staff in the agencies need to be educated on how to perform their jobs without putting student data at risk, and understand the policies that govern safe data use within their agencies.
Senator Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the things you just said makes me have this question. Does the act of having the security, their cybersecurity, done by the state CIO security officer for all agencies, does that compromise any of the data within those areas? Is it data protected from the other areas?
Coach O'Reilly, Coach Nathanson, that's a good question. Let me have a conversation with the Enterprise Security Office to make sure I give you the right answer on that. I will get back to you.
Thank you.
Let's go to... So I want to quickly review the six strategic goals that the agencies identified during the IRM development process. I've already touched on the majority of these goals in the context of previous slides. Each agency recognized the need to improve the effectiveness of the current infrastructure, leverage cross-agency partnerships better, find improvements within their data collection and funding disbursement systems. Those two are a major focal point for the majority of the agencies. Improve the way they plan and govern their IT investments, improve data sharing amongst each other while balancing security, privacy, and establishing effective governance, and ensuring that the data they collect and use is as transparent as possible to the constituents that they serve.
On strategic goal 3, could you say a bit more about the funding disbursement system?
Coach O'Reilly, Coach Nathanson, yes. The Department of Education, Higher Ed Coordinating Commission, and to an extent State Library all dispense funds to their local constituents, K-12 school districts, public universities, community colleges, and the library community. Each of them has a unique IT system that helps them with that disbursement.
All righty, so we have... unique, discrete systems are, to what extent are they, do people in budget management have access directly into those for auditing, or does it require replicating information at agencies? I understand they need a good management, fiscal management system, but then what's the oversight over that?
Coach O'Reilly, Coach Nathanson, I will work with those agencies and get those answers back to you.
Thank you.
The education agencies have three projects. They're in the OSCIO stage gate process. The SLDS, which is State Longitudinal Data System, and ELIS, Early Learning Information System, are both well underway, and our office continues to be engaged with those agencies as they move forward through StageGate. During this session, Higher Ed will be proposing an investment to replace their current financial aid management information system. I mark the budget amount here listed as a placeholder because when the agency request budget was being finalized, they had not completed their market survey. They are closing the RFI. That actually closed just last week, and they're doing an analysis on it. So when they come before you, they will have a finalized proposal in terms of cost estimate and a finalized strategy in terms of build versus buy. So I just wanted to give you a perspective with this slide of what the other efforts are that the education agencies have aside from the StageGate projects. We identified 2 to 3 key objectives under each strategic goal. This list represents what the agencies identified at the beginning of the budget process, so not all of these requests have moved forward through that process. I've touched on a few of these already, either in the previous slide or earlier in the presentation. The last two goals in this list really represent the most important cross-agency work that the education area has over the next 2 years. The SLDS development, which I mentioned before, is well underway and will provide a powerful tool for education agencies to look at their data in new ways and see how different aspects of the system influence each other. I've mentioned the development of cross-agency data governance in previous slides as well. Projects will come and go, but without effective data governance, these projects will risk foundering as they attempt to navigate that balance that I've talked about between program improvement and data privacy. There is an opportunity here for us to create a model that can be used by all education agencies moving forward. The last goal represents the recognition by all agencies the need to increase accessibility and transparency of the data that they hold. This needs to be done with care, but the communities that the agencies serve have an interest in how their education institutions are performing and what data is being collected and how it is being used. So in conclusion, the development of the IRM provided education agencies a great opportunity to identify common challenges and opportunities and agree on key strategies in the coming years. You've heard me emphasize partnerships, data governance, and data privacy. These are the major areas of focus for the education policy area. So this concludes my overview of the education IRM. I'm happy to answer any additional questions that you have.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Nathanson, Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee. Next up, we have the Natural Resources Program Area. And Daryl, if you could introduce yourself for the record before you begin presenting.
Great. Thank you.
And again, want to remind the committee, detailed documents, 25, 30 pages, are also posted on the OLIS site for today's meeting. So if you want more detail, you and your staff can find it there. And certainly I am keeping a running list of questions for the committee, and we'll work with the Office of the State CIO and or the agency to get those answers back.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Daryl Landrum. I work for the Office of the State CIO as the Natural Resource Policy Area Strategic Technology Officer. And with me is Ben Tate, the Education Policy Area Strategic Technology Officer. Thank you for the opportunity to present the Policy Area Information Resource Management, or IRM, Strategic Plan. The complete document, as Sean has stated, is included in the meeting materials that are posted. This slide lists the agencies and governor's office contributors to the Natural Resource IRM. The agencies participated in documenting the current IT environment and development of the strategic goals, objectives, and recommended outcomes to improve the enterprise IT alignment across the policy areas. Also participated in this was the governor's Natural Resource Cabinet and Office of the State CIO. The IRM guiding principles are to support agencies' missions, visions, strategic plans, need to be business-driven, transparent, and have measurable outcomes. They also need to reflect where agencies want to be in the future for information technology maturity and can be accomplished with their available resources. The Natural Resource Policy Area IRM Strategic Plan is the first policy area IRM developed for the 14 natural resource agencies that are listed here. One thing with the natural resource agencies, the size of the agencies, a lot of them are relatively small. 9 of the 14 natural resource agencies have less than 150 agency staff, and 6 of these have less than 60 staff. Associated agency IT departments are typically scaled to the agency size and are also small. The major IT projects for the Natural Resource Area. Department of Forestry has two projects that are in work, the procurement system, Woods Accounting Log Tracking System. Department of Agriculture has their lab information management system. And then we also have Department of Agriculture, Department of Environmental Quality, and as well, Oregon Department of Transportation, with their time and attendance, is a shared IT service project. And Oregon Department of Transportation is taking the lead on that. Department of Geology and Mining and Industries is has an infrastructure migration to the state data center. That's what they're doing this year. And with the infrastructure alignment, there is a mix of state data center services that agencies use. All utilize the wide area network, firewall, internet, and email hub, which is identified as network in the table. As I talked about earlier, the Department of Geological and Mining Industries, and as well the Marine Board, are migrating over to the state data center. They've had legacy technology services that needing to migrate off, and the state data center was a great option for them with that.
Just a quick question. Sure. Just a point of clarification, you've indicated there that all of the agencies utilize the mail hub, but it would be true to say that not all of those agencies actually use the enterprise email system.
Correct, and that's been identified in the table where there's email listed. They're using the state data center or the enterprise email system for the state.
So the majority of the natural resource agencies have their own emails, their own independent email system.
I would say majority, but a fair amount of them do.
Great,
have their own email systems. And of the 14 agencies, 10 maintain their own data centers.
And what's the purpose of having their own systems instead of playing on the same team with everyone else?
I think some of it has been service related. They feel that they could provide a higher level of service doing it themselves. What they're seeing now is they needed to migrate or upgrade their email systems, that the state service is a good, affordable service, and as well as provides that ability for them to migrate over, which we've seen this year. We've seen four agencies migrate over to the state email system: Department of Energy, Water Resources, and the Watershed Enhancement Board, and as well one other agency I can't think of right now.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, and Parks and Rec as well as it has on the state email system.
Senator Frederick.
I understand you were invoking my name.
Welcome. Would you like to join us up here?
I think I'll pass. This is exactly my other.
All right. Department of Forestry and Land Use Board of Appeals fully utilize the state data center services, and that includes local area network, server hosting, backup, and email. And as well, with infrastructure alignment, agency IT staff tend to be heavily day-to-day operation focus to support their IT infrastructure. They also have a wide range of IT responsibilities, and this is associated with the size of the IT staff. So you may have a staff person that has three duties or three roles. They could be their security person, their network person, and their admin person, or you could have a manager that is the manager, security person, as well database administrator. So you see that a lot with the smaller agencies where they have to have the multiple roles. Several of the agencies have field offices across the state and have a need for improved broadband networking to support these offices, improve the cost and service. Cloud or software as a service is important to the natural resource agencies and support core systems. And this include Department of Fish and Wildlife Licensing System, Marine Board Registration, and Parks Reservation Systems. Several current projects are leveraging cloud or software as a services as well. And that's the time and attendance system and lab information system. Online internet e-commerce is also important technology for the natural resource area. And for fiscal year 16, the annual revenue was $18 million, and with fiscal 17, projection is at $22 million. Governance ensures the most efficient use of IT resources, and Ben talked about this quite a bit, so I won't repeat some of the areas that he's covered. IT governance is used at most agencies, but it's not fully mature. It is mostly used for operation service levels and tactical project planning, and that has to do with the size of the IT and the organization as well. IT strategic plans, or IRMs, are missing components for most of the natural resource IT departments, and governance models are not fully mature. IT leaders want to use the natural resource IRM as the framework for future agency IRMs. So this process really was a kickstart to helping them with developing their own internal IRMs, and am in the process of assisting a couple agencies with that. Security. Security is an ongoing challenge for the Natural Resource Agency with increasing demands to assess and improve their defense to minimize the risk of incidents. And it's difficult to, it's the same tone as the smaller agencies and multiple roles as well. So the IT security responsibilities are typically shared by several staff. The only agency with a dedicated IT security person is Department of Fish and Wildlife. During 2016, Department of Forestry, Department of Fish and Wildlife, and Parks have been included in the Secretary of State statewide audit of IT security. Department of Forestry and Fish and Wildlife have also had independent security assessments completed in 2016, so they were very proactive this last year in doing security assessments. The governor's executive order, 1613, Unifying Cybersecurity, the first risk assessments include four natural resource agencies, and that's State Lands, Fish and Wildlife, Department of Environmental Quality, and Department of Energy. And then there are two external web application scans that's been done with agricultural and water resources. The Enterprise Security Office reported one natural resource policy area security breach since July 2015, and this is with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife's online system that was supported by a third-party vendor. The IRM focused on four common strategic goals and 13 associated objectives to provide agency technology maturity guidance and alignment across the natural resource policy area. These goals were supporting our stakeholders, stewardship of enterprise IT resources, enhancing information security, and investing in our workforce and partnerships. These are the 13 objectives that were mapped out to the strategic goals that cover governance, information and IT management, policy and standards, cybersecurity, and IT workforce workforce management themes. Proposed major projects for this next biennium include two for Department of Environmental Quality. They have the Environmental Data Management System, Clean Water State Revolving Fund Information System. We've got Department of Fish and Wildlife has a proposed e-procurement project. Department of Energy has two projects, their Customer Relationship Management and Energy Data Consolidation Enhancement. And then we've also got Department of State Lands, so they'd like to replace their core system they call NextGen. It's their land administration system. And with that listed are the supported project strategic goals and objectives that align to these projects. The agencies within the policy area share many of the same challenges and opportunities related to information technology management. This IRM provides a foundation for ongoing engagement between the Office of State CIO and the policy area IT leadership. And there's an increased focus on shared strategies, objectives to meet these common business nodes. So bringing this together really brings the strategy of sharing services. And having a smaller agency, you can't do it all. So, but if you can combine, as an example, with the time and attendance project with ODOT, pulling together three agencies like that, we're able to do that at a better performance. And conclusion, and I'd like to thank you very much. Are there any questions for me?
Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So thanks for your presentation. I appreciate all the work you do. So I'm interested in broadband. On slide 7, you talk about that the several of the agencies have field offices where they have a need for low-cost broadband. So can you talk to me a little bit more about that? Are there real opportunities there for cost savings? And what are the barriers to that? And I'll throw one out as a suggestion, and you can take it or leave it or whatever. Is information security a barrier to any kind of advancement on the cost-saving front there?
Okay. Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, Representative Nierman. Some of the agencies like Department of Environmental Quality, Department of Fish and Wildlife, and Parks, and especially the last two, have very remote field offices. And in a lot of cases, a phone line with a 56K modem capabilities is all you're going to get, unless you try to route it through a satellite. And that's where you get to your security part of it. So if you go with out through the internet into that realm, then you're not on a private state network. And that you can do that at a lower cost. But the security parts of it make it to where it's could create a risk with that. But the difficulty is that you've got offices scattered throughout the state and a lot of times in remote areas, and these costs can exceed, for a very low-quality network connection can cost up to $1,000 a month. And you can't always get quantities of scale with that because of the remoteness with that as well.
Follow up, and then Senator Riley.
Do you make deals with local providers then, just the local Comcast guy in Drain, Oregon, or something like that, where you have a fish hatchery? Is that a solution, or is that?
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, Representative Nierman. The state's data center does look at available network providers when they acquire that a service for an agency. So they look at all those available options as part of that and try to look at what the agency's needs on bandwidth and as well cost. And then it comes back to what's only available too.
Thank you.
So at these remote locations, what is there any sensitive data there that requires a very secure transmission or security?
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, I think it'd be best to defer that question to the agencies because I don't know all the sensitivity of the data that they store at the different field offices.
Okay.
I'm thinking about a fish hatchery.
Yeah. But you have a lot of parks and as well that are, in some cases, collecting fees. So there's a variety, and I'll refer that back to the agencies and provide you a response.
Sounds like all public information.
Mm-hmm. Co-Chair Nathanson, Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, think about, a door in to the agency is potentially a door into the central location. Mm-hmm. And so certainly I work with the Office of the State CIO and the agency to get that information mm-hmm. back.
And paying an entrance fee using a credit card or just all mm-hmm. all sorts of connectivity challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it's very important to the agencies to have that connectivity and be able to have access to their information systems.
Other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So before we move on to the next topic, I just wanted to mention the largest project that was indicated for this particular policy area is from the Department of Environmental Quality, the Environmental Data Management System. We have asked DEQ to come back to this committee sometime in early to mid-April, and so you'll hear more about that potentially $17 million project in this program area. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the last program area for the day, Transportation and Economic Development. And thank you, Jared, for being here. Could you introduce yourself for the record?
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jared Chalk. I'm a strategic technology officer with the Office of the State CIO, focusing on transportation and economic development. Beside me, once again, is Ben Tate, strategic technology officer for education, and he will be advancing through the slides on my behalf. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to present the Information Resource Management, or IRM, strategic plan for the Transportation and Economic Development Policy Group. The complete IRM in an updated presentation is available in your packet. Today, I will provide an overview of the IRM development process, discuss the agencies involved, and provide some highlights from the plan. These highlights focus on modernization of core systems, IT governance, utilization of enterprise services, security, goals, and projects. But first, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the contributions of the Transportation and Economic Development agencies. Development of the IRM was a collaborative process. Contributions from and review by agency and IT leaders was critical for success. In addition to the names listed here, multiple individuals from the Governor's Focus Area team and from the Office of the State CIO helped inform this plan and provided valuable feedback. During development of the IRM, we focused on supporting agency missions, visions, strategic plans. For the IRM to be useful, alignment with agency business, with the agency's core work, and with the agency's mission is critical. The IRM should reflect a shared vision of the current state. What are we doing well? What commonalities exist? The IRM should also reflect a desired future state. Just as the IRM is informed by strategy, so too should it be driven by statewide and enterprise strategy as envisioned through the Governor's Focus Area team and the state CIO's Enterprise Information Resource Management Strategy, or EIRMS. Finally, it's important to recognize that the IRM is foundational. It's the first year for such an IRM, and as such, it focuses on current state. Agency IT plans, project portfolios, and operations are prominently featured. The agencies of the Transportation and Economic Development Policy Group include the Oregon Business Development Department, or Business Oregon, the Oregon Department of Aviation, the Oregon Department of Transportation, the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, the Oregon Employment Department, Oregon Housing and Community Services, Oregon Real Estate Agency, and the Oregon Travel Information Council, or Oregon Travel Experience. As we look at this list, it appears that some agencies are more tightly aligned than others. For instance, Oregon Department of Transportation's relationship with the Department of Aviation is obvious. All transportation and economic development agencies, however, share common threads in their mission and work. In some cases, these threads are universal, such as safety and employee engagement. In others, the cases, the threads are more tangible. Examples include loan management, occurring at various forms at the Department of Veterans Affairs, Business Oregon, and Housing and Community Services, grant and fund management occurring at ODOT and Business Oregon, licensing occurring at Aviation, Real Estate Agency, and of course, ODOT. Often, the greatest opportunity for shared services exists predominantly upon these common threads. I've talked a little bit about common threads, and I'd like to provide a significant theme which appears across the transportation and economic development agencies, and that's modernization. Modernization means the updating or replacement of core business systems. Certainly, part of this replacement involves technology, but a modernization initiative also requires a review of business processes and entire workflows to ensure that the work is efficient and effective. Most agencies have significant projects planned or underway to modernize. During the IRM development process, several goals were developed which support these efforts. In particular, IT plans to, where appropriate, expand steering committees and stakeholder lists to encourage cross-agency partnership and collaboration, and to consider what guiding principles may help with data sharing between agencies. A few of the significant projects include ODOT's Service Transformation Project, or STP. This project seeks to update core driver and motor vehicle, or DMV, service division processes, procedures, and technology. ODOT is also engaged in a shared service project with the Department of Environmental Quality and the Department of Agriculture to replace multiple time and attendance systems with a single application that automates manual processes, mitigates duplication of effort, and reduces errors. Employment is engaged in a significant effort that they are titling a Modernization Initiative. This project will update unemployment insurance, research, and workforce systems. Though unlike STP or TAMS, which I just mentioned, the employment project is pre-project state, meaning that OED is engaged in a feasibility study and planning work to define the roadmap for modernization regarding timing, budget, and ongoing strategy. Housing and Community Services, multifamily, asset management, and compliance divisions rely on multiple systems which are in need of update and replacement. Through the Multifamily and Asset Management Modernization and Consolidation, or MAMIC, project, OHCS is consolidating systems and streamlining processes in an effort to manage agency workflows, improve transparency, and to increase reporting capability. And finally, the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs is modernizing both its conservatorship and home loan system. The conservatorship program serves the most vulnerable veterans and their families with the management of financial affairs and property. And the Veterans Home Loan Program provides access to home loans for Oregon vets seeking to provide the lowest interest rates possible. IT governance ensures effective and efficient use of IT resources. It is required for effective oversight and developing meaningful project and operational measures. At the highest level, governance can be described as the processes, both formal or informal, that an organization uses for decision-making and prioritization. Effective governance usually means that an agency IT leader participates at the executive level and that formal, documented IT strategic plans exist. Truthfully, this is an area where size and complexity really inform the appropriate level of governance and strategic planning. The largest agencies in our group, the Transportation and Employment Departments, for instance, both maintain distinct IT strategic plans which align to agency strategy. Both also maintain formal governance frameworks. Most of the smaller agencies are engaged in processes to develop or improve internal governance and strategic planning. As an example of a more formal governance process, ODOT distributes IT governance through multiple communities of interest, which parallel business lines. Each community has a council of managers and is chartered to make decisions on IT spending, project selection, and prioritization within the guidelines set by executive staff. This framework allows a large agency to both ensure strategic alignment and nimbleness. Employment maintains a single governance committee, which is chaired by the deputy director and is well represented by business leadership. For both agencies, prospective projects and changes are discussed and prioritized during this governance process. Most transportation and economic development agencies are fully integrated into the state data center. Indeed, ODOT, OED, OHCS, ODVA have all been in the data center since its inception. Full integration includes wide and local area network support, storage and server hosting, backup and email services. Recently, Aviation completed a data infrastructure connectivity improvement project, which they hope will facilitate greater SDC integration. Also, Business Oregon has recently begun to engage more collaboratively with the state data center to consolidate on administrative processes and server build details. The Enterprise Security Office provided one security breach for the Transportation Economic Development Group in 2015. The specific incident was at the Department of Veterans Affairs. However, it was not a systems or a technology breach, but rather a data breach involving potentially inappropriate access to information. Given the sensitive data that is used in the transportation and economic development area agencies, IT security is a significant emphasis. Agencies recognize that it is imperative that security postures maintain a constant state of improvement. Towards this end, the Transportation and Economic Development Agencies have been supportive as they work with the Enterprise Security Office through the Security Unification Executive Order. ODOT, OHCS, and ODVA are included in the Phase 1 scanning and review activities, with other agencies soon to follow. In November of 2016, the Secretary of State's office published the results from information security audit for the 13 executive branch agencies, which included ODOT and OED. The audit work highlights areas needing improvement and offers several recommendations. While not all findings represent equal risk, the Enterprise Security Office is working with agency IT leadership and agency security staff to address the recommendations in the report. I'd like to briefly walk through the goals and objectives outlined in the IRM. As I mentioned in the previous slide, agencies have appeared supportive of the Security Unification Executive Order. That's reflected in the IRM goal to develop community focus and security. I also spoke earlier about modernization of critical systems. That common thread is reflected here, with a noted desire to implement these systems in a collaborative way. Our third goal is to improve IT recruitment, retention, succession planning, and development. In discussions with agency IT leadership, this was reported as a common challenge. In particular, agencies discussed challenges surrounding an aging workforce. Indeed, IT leadership reported that around 30% of the current workforce is eligible for retirement within the next 5 years, and in some areas, such as database administration and mainframe management, this number can exceed 50%. Agency IT leaders recognized the need to discuss this shared objective further and are planning to convene a work group to review the common challenges and develop recommendations for improving recruitment, retention, and succession planning.
Senator Riley.
Thank you. Strategic Goal 1, which is support the IT security unification. You noted that there is sensitive data in some of your areas that you work with. Is that a concern to have that unified security? Is that a concern about the possible sharing of that data that you don't want to be shared?
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, thank you for the question. The sensitive nature of the data that the agency manages is always a concern, as is where that information is shared. And the agencies and ESO are partnered and engaged in ensuring the secure transfer and sharing, when appropriate, of any of that information.
So my question really is, does the security overlay, because we are talking about this one agency doing security for everyone, does that concern your agencies as far as the data possibly being compromised because of that security?
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, I wouldn't want to speak for the agencies in that regard, but I will say that the development of this strategic goal number one preceded the unification executive order. And so the conversation around a community focus on security was one that was occurring with the agencies for some time.
Thank you.
Next slide.
Yes, Representative.
I'm like you, Senator Riley. I'm wanting to ask a bunch of questions about information security. I'm hopeful that we'll have the state information security officer up here, and we'll get to have some of those. I have a bunch of questions kind of backed up to wanting to ask, but I get the feeling that this isn't the right crew to ask it to.
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, certainly we'll follow up with the Chief Information Security Office about that, certainly with the agencies as well. We'll get an initial written response to the two questions that were asked, but also get an update for the committee on how the implementation of the executive order is going, what the preliminary findings are, et cetera. And then, as I indicated late in the session, we'll actually have the annual report that is required by the three or four parties that I mentioned: Secretary of State, Treasurer, Judicial Department, Legislative Branch, and the state CIO.
Good, thanks.
You'll hear this topic of information security many times, but we'll get that initial response back here in the next week.
Good, thanks.
Great. As discussed earlier, the IRM documents goals for developing shared data guidelines, and those principles will help improve program and project effectiveness. And finally, the IRM describes a goal to establish effective governance. As mentioned before, governance is of critical importance and implementation is varied across agencies. This slide provides a view of transportation and economic development projects which are either currently or proposed to be in the stage gate oversight process. This list is not a complete picture of all agency work or agency projects, but it demonstrates some of the significant investments that agencies are making. I'd also note that budget figures for proposed projects are largely placeholders at this time as the agencies develop more project detail. The volume of projects and the relative size of projects does align with agency size. Indeed, most projects that we see are ODOT investments. However, oversight and collaboration occurs with all agencies and at many different levels of project size and project complexity. You'll notice that many modernization efforts are receiving oversight and review. And on the next slide, the relative volume of these projects becomes apparent. This slide shows a non-exhaustive list demonstrating the alignment between some of the significant projects, both stage-gate and non-stage-gate, and IRM goals. It's important to note that not all work occurs through technical projects. Notably, the goals for effective governance and for recruitment and retention and succession planning do not have technical projects associated with them. Rather, these goals will be realized through collaboration, work groups, and general operations. Modernization continues as a major theme, but it's also clear that agencies are investing in security, as evidenced through the security infrastructure project at Employment, where they're partnering closely with the Enterprise Security Office. And agencies are also investing in data sharing, as evidenced in the replacement data warehouse project at Business Oregon, to improve reporting transparency and data analysis. In conclusion, transportation, economic development agencies share common elements, from shared components of agency mission to common challenges. Notably, a significant focus of the transportation and economic development agencies is modernization of core critical business systems. And this IRM supports modernization efforts that are efficient, transparent, and collaborative. Finally, this IRM provides guidance for agency IT through clear strategic goals and objectives, and it provides a foundation for effective engagement between the office, between the policy area IT and the Office of the State CIO. This concludes my review of the Transportation and Economic Development Information Resource Management Strategic Plan. Thank you for your time this afternoon, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Additional questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chair Nathanson, Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, that does it for us for today. As you may have noted on the original agenda, we had originally thought we'd have our next committee measure ready. It's not quite ready, but getting there. We do expect at minimum for our next meeting to have a public hearing on our first bill, which is now House Bill 2906. That is the geospatial data sharing bill that has been assigned to the committee. At this point, I would expect an initial public hearing with invited testimony. Just to kind of kick off that discussion, and we may very well be ready for introduction of our second measure, but we'll kind of hold on that for now. So in the meantime, we do expect some additional presentations. I believe we are going to start with I think we have two more presentations from the Office of the State CIO. We're going to continue to move through those program areas, and so I'll make sure to post that agenda sometime tomorrow.
Okay. That's a big group of you out there, and it's your first time to come to us as a group and present to this committee, or maybe to any legislative committee, it constituted as the group you are. I really appreciate the work you're doing, the thought that you used and the care to prepare your presentations to us. We're very interested in what you do, and you had an awful lot of acronyms in your material today, and I've decided that in my own head I'm going to think of you as the ADA, the Agency of Dense Acronyms. So I hope to see some of you back at future meetings. Thank you. And we're adjourned.
Could we?
Yeah, I learned it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.